open, but I just used my...
Number one.
You don't think I need a mic, but talk to my doctor. He says I've had nodules on my throat, and I tend to over-modulate without the mic, which tends to give me a bad throat. So I appreciate church providing it. Thank you. I want you to turn to Isaiah 41, and I'm going to read verses 10 to 13, and I really want you to follow me. If you have a marker, maybe you highlight verse 10. It's a verse we ought to memorize. Okay? Isaiah 41, I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. The Lord is speaking to Isaiah, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that warred against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." O Father God in heaven, may you drive these wonderful words and thoughts deep down into our hearts and our souls. Just as you told Isaiah you would protect him, that you are his God, and that you would hold his right hand. O God, in this day and hour when fear and anxiety is being propagated by our media and politicians, may we, thy children, know that thou art our God. Bless us, help us, encourage us. And may we not surrender to fear. We love you, Father. We want to admonish those, Lord, in love who put us down for being people of faith. Help us to recognize it is our faith that sustains us. Bless us to this end. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, it's no mystery to you here today that last week there was a very rare run on some common items such as hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and the such. Panic over the coronavirus, or COVID-19 as it is labeled. It has caused folks to be filled with anxiety and go out and empty the shelves. My wife and I, we were at the ShopRite in Poughkeepsie early Saturday morning. We were trying to do what they said, have at least a 2-week supply of groceries in case you get sick because you can't go out. And we walked down aisle after aisle that were just empty. But what struck us is as we were walking down the aisle, a little boy, he was in front of his mom's cart, and as he turned into the aisle, his eyeballs got as big as golf balls. And he said, "Mom, is the world coming to an end?" He was truly frightened. Some of the people in the aisle chuckled, but my wife said, "You know, it's really not funny. It is scary." He's probably never seen a store that had empty aisles of food. We're God's children. God does not want us to panic. Now, we need to be practical, obviously. These items that people are you know, rushing to the store to get, are now exceedingly hard to get, to buy, if you can get them at all. Where it isn't sold out, stores and sellers are charging outrageous prices simply because they can. I think someone told me this morning, I don't know if it was a joke, $75 for a can of Lysol. It's kind of crazy. Well, if you don't have any hand sanitizer, you're not probably going to get any for some time. But I'll tell you what, if you want to know how to make it, send me an email and I'll send you a YouTube video. It's very simple. Some alcohol, aloe vera gel, and glycerin, if you have glycerin, and you just mix them in the proper measurements and you got yourself Purell. Better than Purell. But fear is what's causing all of this, and of course the media seems to be behind it. I lived through the 1968-69 pandemic of the Hong Kong flu. How many of you? Yes. Everyone in my family got it, except my brother. There was not the panic that we're seeing. Yeah, our school was closed for about a week. And it had to be because most of the kids were homesick. But none of what we're experiencing today happened. And a lot of people died from that pandemic. Fear is a difficult issue of life. And many experienced that last week and continue to. I want to be a help so that we as God's children don't panic. Yes, I know we live in times when fear of the unknown can be difficult and scary. There are times in our life that we face fear. But fear is not something that we, God's people, God's children, should be easily accepted. Over 182 times, I've read a few of them to you already, God tells us in the scriptures, speaking to his children, fear not, or the equivalent of that throughout the Old and the New Testament. There are over 182 times that fear not is in the Bible. That is one for every other day of the year. In fact, we have the words of the Lord Jesus, who tells, let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1. And yet sometimes we allow our hearts to be full of anxiety. Bible says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We learned that from the writer of Hebrews 13:6. The Lord is my helper. Have you called upon him to help you with anxiety? I do know, and I'm not minimizing fear, it is a part of life. We have studied it before. In fact, the Greek word used in the New Testament for fear is the word phobos, from which we get our word in English, phobia, a term that we use to describe different kinds of fear, like hydrophobia. What is hydrophobia? Thank you. Very good. Fear of water. There's tachyphobia. Fear of speed, tachyphobia. Claustrophobia, fear of what? Small or tight places. And then there's misophobia. That's the one we're all caught up with right now. It's just another term that describes what we better know as germophobia. But there are thousands of different kinds of phobia. And all of us, men, women, and children, at some time of our lives may have a fear or various fears. But let me say this, I want you to listen. You are a child of God. In fact, not too long ago, we saw the Christian film Overcomer. And I loved what they did. They had the young person get into Ephesians and write down all the things that we are in Christ. Wow. We're redeemed. We're sealed. We're a child of God. And on and on and on. We have the resources of our Heavenly Father at our disposal. And so when fear creeps in, that's when our strength runs out. But strength returns when we turn to God. Check it out anytime in the Bible, and you'll see men of God, women of God, who came to a crossroad where fear intimidated them. Think of Elijah. How Queen Jezebel brought fear in his heart. God revived him. He turned back to God and he became again bold and empowered. Fear is one of Satan's most effective weapons to keep us from fulfilling God's purpose. It kind of bothered me when I got an executive order. I got it kind of late. It kind of bothered me because I kind of felt, gee, you know, the devil's behind this, trying to rob the Lord of his day. But thank God for each of you that came. And I understand we do have to abide by the legal parameters. But it just bothered me. Because I know in some way the devil is behind it. But I also know that God can turn anything that he throws at us and that the devil throws at us and make it work for the church. The more that Satan tries to dump on you, the more you must claim the promises of God. And that's why it's important for you to be in your Bible, to be in your Bible on a regular basis, because the scriptures calm our spirit. That's why Jesus said, "Peace I leave unto you," in John chapter 14. Wonderful passage if you need to be calm, to go to John chapter 14. I already mentioned, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me." But in the 27th verse of that chapter, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you." And again he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And as I read that verse, I thought of that song, "Everything's All Right in My Father's House." Fear can affect us. If we go back in the Bible to the book of Exodus, there's a great example of the effect of fear in the reaction of the Israelites. And God had just wrought 10 marvelous miracles. We know them as the plagues that hit Egypt. But God spared the Israelites. And when the Israelites left Egypt, God told Moses to travel in sort of a circle that Pharaoh will think that they are entangled in the land. Take your Bible, go to Exodus chapter 14 quickly. Exodus chapter 14. And we'll just read the first three verses. "And the Lord," which is Jehovah, whenever you see all of the letters of the Lord capitalized, the word Lord, speaking of Jehovah God, the one true and living God. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel." God has given them direction. Here they're full of anxiety and fear that Pharaoh's army is going to catch them and they're all going to die by the sword. But God had everything under control. Everything was all right. They just needed to trust. And here God is speaking to Moses, and God knows that they're frightened. And God says, "Moses, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth, and between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye camp by the sea." For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, this is what Pharaoh is going to think when they do this. They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. I remember I watched the Ten Commandments many, many times with Charlton Heston. I remember that scene in the movie where Ramsey says, oh, the Hebrew God is not a good general. He boxed them in by the sea. No, he didn't. God had a plan already, didn't he? And so God had to tell Moses, calm them down. Pharaoh thought they were entangled in the land. The wilderness had shut them in on one side. And it seemed as if God, Jehovah, had led them into a cul-de-sac with nowhere to go. Mountains were on one side, the Red Sea on the other side. And here Pharaoh's army was closing in. And they looked up and saw Pharaoh with his army approaching from the west, and fear was their response. And God just said, Moses, calm these people down. You would think that he would not have to do that. They just were delivered from Egypt. And God took care of them. In this passage, we find that fear affects us. It cripples, number one, our faith, doesn't it? A faith that we know we can have in Almighty God. It is lurking in the shadows, fear, and around every corner if we allow it to. Fear will poison your inner peace. It will poison your sleep. How many of you have been through that? Do all you can, leave the rest to God. I say all the time that prayer is a very effectual tool in ministry. I said last week, and I guess I'll continue to say it, we pray and we ask God at times to heal us. Sometimes God does not do that. And I gave you the example of our good brother in the Lord, Frank Bennett. But prayer changed Frank. And what a man of God he was that last year of his life. So regardless of what decision is being made in your life, God is with you if you let him be. And what an example he was to all of us. Before he turned to prayer and the scriptures, he was angry. And he was mad at life and God, and he would constantly say, God, why are you allowing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? But the more he got into a relationship with the Father, the more he humbled himself and understood that God loved him. And regardless of the outcome, God would give him the strength and the peace. When God said, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. They're not just there in the scriptures to be a wonderful cliche. Because God is not a God who just gives cliches. He is a God who gives us his word. Amen? And we can take it to heart. How many of us have laid awake at night in fear of a medical exam or some test results, or, you know, our children? I think that's probably even a greater fear. And we see what's happening with this COVID-19 scare. And as I said, I remember back in 1968 and 69 when we had the Hong Kong flu pandemic. The America that I lived in then was not the America we're living in now. It was a time when many people trusted in God and had a greater faith in God than the culture that we're living in today. And I got to thinking about this and actually talking with some of our members Friday night. And we came to the conclusion, yes, the reason why there's such fear and anxiety is because we don't live in a culture where people have a relationship with Almighty God like they should. And what does that breed? Anxiety. Who are they going to trust? But it should not affect the church in that matter. Today in our culture, there is not the kind of relationship that was in the late 50s and 60s. In fact, I grew up in the time where you could pray in the public school, so it was a different world. Now there's no prayer in the school, no Bible, and they're doing everything they can to take it out of our society. So when these kind of things hit, a nation is crushed and worried. And I know that they're telling us, stay calm, remain calm. And yes, that's good advice along with all the practical things. And I heard it back in the pandemic of 68, wash your hands. I never heard my mom and dad say that so much as during that time. Wash your hands. My father, keep your hands out of your mouth. Keep your fingers out of your face. And we got through it. Stay calm, but I wonder if they understand that because of the direction we've gone as a country, they have taken away the one who calms. Staying calm is very hard without the one who does the calming. Who is he? He is the comforter. Take your Bible, go to John 14, verse 16. John 14, again, this wonderful chapter where Jesus is comforting his disciples. Jesus says, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. The word there in Greek is paraclete, which means the one who comes alongside to give you wisdom and peace, that he may abide with you, what? Forever. We're living in a society today where there are many, many, many unsaved people. They do not have the comforter. They do not have the paraclete. They don't have any relationship with them all. So the moment bad news hits, the first thing they do is panic. Praise God, you're saved. Amen? Because the Spirit of God lives in you forever. You are sealed, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, until the day of your redemption. Verse 26, again, Jesus speaking at the close to the end of the chapter, he says to them, but the paraclete, the comforter, and he identifies who this comforter is. He is the third person of the Trinity. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, because he promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us, and he never has. After Jesus died and rose again from the dead, the Holy Spirit has come. And he lives in everyone who has accepted God's Son as their personal Savior. And we're living in a world where fewer and fewer people have accepted Jesus Christ. And so we are living in a society where there are fewer and fewer people who are endowed with the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, who is the one that does the calming. I know in my own life when I begin to panic and fear and I start to pray, the Holy Spirit begins to calm me down and just gives me a peace and everything's all right in my Father's house. Fear changes your focus and causes you to overlook God's protection, God's love for you, God's peace, and God's purpose in your life. You read with me from Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 13. It ought to be a good verse that you claim right now. It is powerful. I understand there are things in life that cause anxiety. Losing your job. Getting older and having declining health. Not maybe being able to pay your bills. Jesus said in Matthew 16, but worrying about those things isn't going to add one cubic to your stature. Somebody once wrote, fear is, now listen carefully, fear is false evidence appearing real. I love that. And if you take the first letter of each of those words, it spells fear. False evidence appearing real. We are born with only two fears, I'm told. And I'm not a doctor, I'm just quoting what I heard. We have the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. So the conclusion of that is all other fears are learned. Because we're only born with two. So how do we alleviate fear? Going back to Isaiah, God speaking to the prophet. Remember his power. Remember that God spoke to Moses, his prophet, to calm the fears of the Israelite. And Moses tells the Israelites in verse 14 of that chapter, we don't have to go back there, but he tells them, the Lord shall fight for you. Amen. Well, that calms me right down. That's right. The battle is the Lord's. I'm just an instrument and a vessel. And he ain't never lost a battle. Amen.
Amen.
The battle is the Lord's. The secret of alleviating our fears is found in many Bible verses and in many Bible stories. But the Apostle Paul gave a young Timothy something to remember because he was faced with pastoring a very difficult church in the city of Ephesus. And he said, Timothy, 2 Timothy, we find it in verse 7 of the first chapter. Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where's it coming from? The world, the devil, and our flesh. It's not from God. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, sometimes I have to do this. All things being equal, we understand there is good fear, okay? It's good to fear crossing the highway when cars are going 70 miles an hour. But that's a good fear, okay? That's built into us so we can protect ourselves. And that's not what I'm talking about. But from this verse, we find God, through the Holy Spirit, supplies us with the things we need to alleviate fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. Without God's power, we would constantly be victimized by everything that comes our way that we don't understand. And fear comes from the unknown. You remember 1 Samuel 17, that's the story of David and Goliath. A young shepherd boy. And being that young, he had a relationship with God the Father. He understands the power of God. And that this Philistine defied Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of the universe. And that empowered David, a teenager, to go toe-to-toe with the champion of the Philistine army. And you know the story. He tried on Saul's armor, and that wasn't what he was used to. And he couldn't go into battle with that. That just weighed him down. But he remembered how God had given him the victory with his slingshot over the bear and over the lion. It's like, makes sense to me. I had to face a lion. That lion was going to tear up my sheep. But I got him by the power of God behind me with my slingshot. So David goes out to fight the giant. And he wins. Because he doesn't fear. He knows the power of God. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God does not give us the spirit of fear, but he supplies us with power. God supplies us with the assurance of his love. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love is the greatest virtue of all. If you don't experience God's love, you will not experience God's protection. Amen?
Amen.
If you know, if you just put it on earthly terms, how much your mom or dad loves you, then you know that they'll do their very best to protect you. Amen? Well, how come we think so little of God? He's not given us spirit of fear, but have power, love, and a sound mind. John's epistle, First John 4:18. He says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear." Where do we get perfect love? We only get perfect love from a perfect God. Because fear, John says, has torment. And it does. We've experienced it. "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." And you can only have that love if you have a relationship with God the Father. So my question is, are you saved? It's a very important question. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," the Bible says, "shall be saved." And once you are saved, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. You become a child of the King. Not only a child of the King, but you become the child of a compassionate, divine Heavenly Father. God supplies us with love, with power, and a sound mind. This literally means that God gives us self-discipline or self-control. Now, I understand there are people who have mental issues and their mind can wander and things can happen, but that's not what this is talking about. God supplies us with a sound mind. Literally means that God's given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to have self-discipline and self-control, so we don't get hysterical and become paralyzed by fear when serious problems come in our life and things that we don't understand trouble us. The child of God knows God is in control. And the Holy Spirit enables us to keep cool when the monster called fear comes into our lives. None of us live in a vacuum, friends, and I'm just about done. Therefore, we must put something in place of the fear that we have to reject. May I suggest that we replace it with the promises of God? That's why I gave you a passage today that would do you good to memorize. And if you can't memorize it all, then just memorize Isaiah 41:10. It is a calming passage. It is an assuring passage. And it will replace fear. Now, some of us have different passages. I love that one, but the one I have memorized and I've used for years is Proverbs 2:8-9. "When things come my way that I don't understand, that begin to cause me to fear, I substitute that fear with meditating on God's Word. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He will direct your paths." Now maybe that's the verse you need. I don't know. God will direct you if you truly seek to alleviate the fear. We are created for the best and the worst that life can give. So providing we allow our faith to go deep into the Word of God, God will help us in all those times. I want to give you an illustration. It's a true story. It deals with fear. Many of you know the retailer JCPenney's. I don't think they're in business anymore, are they? Maybe on the West Coast? Yeah. Some of them, yeah. But JCPenney wrote a book entitled The Ninth Decade. And in that book, Mr. Penney told a story about having a serious mental breakdown. And it was caused by fear. When he was but a young man in his early 20s, he had begun a small department store, and dealing with the money and the ordering and all of the responsibilities became massive to him. And he only had the one store. It was located in downtown, in a little town in Wyoming, not far from Denver. He was in the hospital. And as he was recovering, one Sunday afternoon, he heard through an open door, there had been some church that came with their young people, and we used to do this years ago when we were allowed in the nursing home. And they came to minister to the folks in the hospital. And do you know, they were singing the beautiful Christian hymn entitled, God Will Take Care of You. We sing it here often. God will take care of you. And J.C. Penney heard that. And from his hospital bed, Mr. Penney began to pray something like this to Almighty God. God, is that just a song? Or God, is it true? And he heard God speaking to his heart. I will take care of you. Now, he didn't hear God say that audibly. He heard it in his heart, in his soul, in his spirit. And Mr. Penney, in his book, said, this is what he told God. God, I'll make a deal with you. Just like a businessman, right? I'll make a deal with you, God. I'll take you as my senior partner, and I'll turn my business over to you, and I'll run my business for your honor and glory. We will be partners, and I will turn over all of my burdens and all of my problems to you. Mr. Penney in a book said that was the first day he started to heal mentally. He told in the book how healing began that day and continued day in and day out as he fed his soul the Word of God. And he went on, as you know, to become a very successful businessman with over 1,600 stores across America. It is sad to say, though, when Mr. Penney died, turned the enterprise over to unscrupulous people, they did not operate by his spiritual mandate. And we know that they're falling apart. There's still some stores, but they're not abiding by his mandate. Well, when the evil one tries to put fear in your heart, I want you to remember, you can drive it away with God's promises. Because He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He said this, and I close. Psalm 50:15. Call upon me in the day of your trouble. I will deliver you. Now listen carefully to the end. And thou shalt glorify me. Do you know that when you acknowledge your weakness and humble yourself before God and you tell God, I'm scared. What would a loving father do? Come here. Come here. Don't be afraid. I love you. I'll take care of you. God says, when you do that, you glorify me. And when you glorify God, He will bless you. I don't know how He'll bless you, but I know He does. His blessings are uniquely different for all of us. The greatest blessing you can have is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you have never asked Him to save you, you need to do that now. Just acknowledge, God, I recognize I'm a sinner, but I recognize You love me and You gave Christ Your Son to die in my place, a vicarious substitutionary death that all of my sins would be atoned for. Acknowledge that. That it is true, it is the Word of God. And that according to Scripture, Christ died and was buried, but He rose again from the dead. And doing that, He justified us in the eyes of the Father. If that had not happened, we could not be justified. It is a difficult doctrine, but it is a true doctrine. Let's have every head bowed, eyes closed. Father, as we have come to our church today, we're thankful to You that we were able to have our service, that we could keep it within the parameters of the safety. But Lord, as we leave here, may we not fear. May we substitute fear with Your promises, with Your love, with Your care. You have told us that when the Comforter is come, that You would send, that He would proceed with truth from You, the Father, and that He would always testify of You. So, Father, may we rely now as believers in the ministry of your Holy Spirit to give us strength, to give us mental awareness, and to take away our fears. Bless these good people. Put a hedge about them, God. Dismiss them with your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. So our last song will be 527 People Need the Lord. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to calm people down by introducing them to Christ. Once they have Christ, they'll be saved. And once they're saved, they'll have the Holy Spirit. And once they have the Holy Spirit, He's the calmer. He'll calm their spirits. Let's stand. We sing 527, People Need the Lord.